Sunday in the Star Tribune, their local section, there was a headline that said, Bemidji First candidates, organizers fined over campaign violations. Some voters were suspicious of this new group called Bemidji First and who exactly was fronting it, as well as why the group had formed in the first place. One of the people listed in there that complained to the Minnesota Campaign Finance Board was Robert Saxton of Bemidji. Robert joins us now. Thanks for being with us.
Morning, Heidi.
So, tell us how this kind of came to be when you first saw Bemidji First being used and why it seemed a little suspicious to you.
Well, the moniker Bemidji First got a lot of people's attention, right? Because there are hints of certain national campaigns that we've all been aware of. So when we started seeing Bemidji First pop up on lawn signs and in door hangers, that kind of raised an eyebrow or two. And so I started wondering, and a number of people around town started wondering, well, what is this? Is it a committee? Is it a group? Who are these people? And before you knew it, there was a Facebook page for three candidates. They were running for mayor and two city council positions, Joe Venny, Mike Beard, and Don Hainanen. And the Facebook page was under the Bemidji First moniker. And then there was a Twitter handle that was Bemidji First. And then there was a website that was Bemidji First. And so a number of us sort of scratched our heads and said, well, what's going on here? What are these guys promoting? What are they up to? And what kind of agenda do they have? And when you start looking at how things are funded, how campaigns are organized, you get some results. And so in Bemidji, at least, you can get onto the City of Bemidji website and find out campaign finance reports. That's a good way for citizens to figure out who is funding a candidate, who is funding an election. And one of the things that stood out to me on the campaign finance report of one of the candidates was a $2,400 in-kind contribution that did not list the name of the contributor and appeared to be over the allowed amount. And so I filed a complaint with the state, and that week we started to hear that this was $2,400 of in-kind work by Pinnacle Publishing, which is a marketing and website group here in Bemidji. I think they're a subsidiary of Paul Bunyan Telephone. In any case, that's what got our attention. That's what got my attention, and that's how I filed the complaint. And there were two more parts of the complaint that I alleged that was over the $600 limit, that state statute prohibits a corporation from making a campaign contribution, and that he did not list the names of the employer or the person making that contribution. So that's how the complaint began.
You know, you talked about the three candidates that were using this Bemidji First. Is that something, I guess I don't know about this, can someone do that kind of thing? Is that legal to kind of band together for a certain cause? Or that wasn't part of your complaint, right, that the three of them were under that?
Right. Yeah, I'm not an expert, like probably all listeners or most listeners that are hearing this. I'm not an expert on campaign finance law, so you need to dig around a little bit on the Minnesota Secretary of State website to find Minnesota campaign laws. And there are certain laws about committees and disclosures of committees or groups. When people get together and form the committee, in quotes, that puts them under a different set of rules and regulations. And it wasn't clear to me that this Bemidji First committee was following the proper disclosures. So that was part of what disturbed me. And also, when you probe around a little bit to see what this committee is about and what they're trying to do, the answers were vague, they were nebulous, they were gray. And so that, for me at least, that raises red flags. Like, well, what do you guys want? Who are you? What's your agenda? And so that requires a little bit, more digging and probing.
So you talked about filing complaint. Is that a difficult thing to do? How'd you do that?
Okay, so it's not that difficult, but you need to have your ducks in a row. There is Minnesota Secretary of State website leads you to campaign finance rules or campaign rules. You can read up on those. One of the quick ways to do it is to have a friend who is in office or a friend who is a lawyer or knows about these rules and check in with them and say, does this look like a legal maneuver here? Does this look like, and if they say, that's a problem, Then you say, you know, you sit down and you try to hash out your complaint. So it's a very simple letter in a form online through the Secretary of State website, and send your complaint in with, I'm trying to remember how much it costs, $30 or $40 or something like that, down to St. Paul. And they take a look at it and they say, yeah, you've established that there's a possible violation here, and we're going to have a telephone call with the judge 2 weeks from tomorrow. If you have any additional printed information, go ahead and send that in. Otherwise, here's the phone number, call in, and we'll have a conference call. So you do that, and the person you're making the complaint against is also on that conference call, and you sort of reiterate your complaint. And then that person may say, well, it was, you know, it was an oversight, you know, didn't mean it. This is really how it was funded, so on and so forth. I filed an amended campaign finance statement, and so here's what's going on. And then the judge thinks about it and makes a decision days or weeks later and says, yeah, the complainant has alleged sufficient facts to have a little hearing. And so then you do a hearing with a three-judge panel on the phone, which is all very simple. They're all nice people. And you say, this is my complaint. I think this person should not have done that. Here's the violation scheme, and I think they should pay $500 for willful, you know, negligence or whatever, or however that works. And that's how it all went down.
So the process worked for you, would you say?
Yeah, it did. It worked for me. And what was interesting was that on the heels of my successful complaint and the fine issued to this candidate, a couple of other very sharp citizens apparently got online and looked at the campaign finance reports of the other two candidates, plus a man who wrote an affidavit saying, I was the one who organized everything from Bemidji First, it's all me. He apparently made a mistake as he did that. And so three more complaints were filed, and as the Star and Tribune article indicated, they all got fines from the state. So, you know, what this all comes down to, Heidi, is clarity in the funding of campaigns and good government. It's important for all of us to be alert and aware and awake to who is running for office and who is funding the campaigns of the people running for office. And every now and then we need to step up and do something about it. That's the hard part, but it wasn't that big a deal for me. And if you've got friends who, you know, are smart about how the system works, you can visit with them, make a phone call or two, and type out a letter. And this kind of keeps our public servants in line, which is important. One of the lessons that I took from the 2016 election, and probably a lot of people out there listening are feeling the same way, is that I never felt like I did enough. You know, I looked at the results of 2016, and I said, did I do enough? And my gut's been telling me, no, not at all. Robert did not do enough. It turns out voting is not enough. It's just not. We need to be really informed and educated and alert and aware, and we need to be active when we can. Not 24/7. This is not a full-time job. We're all busy. We get kids. We get jobs. We got dogs. We got to walk. But citizens sometimes need to stand up and step out and do important work in between elections to make sure that we've got good government. And so that was one of the lessons that I took from 2016. And so I made myself sit down and do that this time around. And I think the citizens of Bemidji have probably benefited from that effort, and it's probably, you know, made a number of politicians and power brokers in our area aware that there are people watching them and people that are interested in what agendas are behind the scenes.
I could imagine someone might be worried about calling attention to something like this for their standings in the community. Maybe it affects their kids or their jobs or that kind of thing. Did you get any problems after the fact, after making this complaint?
Yeah, I got a veiled threat on Facebook from a former city council member who wasn't happy about my efforts. But, you know, that is what it is. It's childish, and the kids are fine. The wife is fine. I'm doing what I can. I mean, sometimes you get a few bruises and battle scars when you fight these battles, and that's just the way it is. It's not easy, but I don't know any other way to live, so that's what I felt that I had to do. I personally get worked up when I see powerful groups of people trying to control our elections. I get really bothered when I see them trying to control our elections and trying to cover their tracks. And there was plenty of that going on here. I don't know why Pinnacle Publishing was so eager to do all the free website and social media work for the Bemidji First candidates. But when you dig a little bit, you see that, you know, this CEO is on the board with that CEO of Sanford Health, and they're both on another board together, and you scratch your head and say, well, what's going on there? Were there conversations about certain agenda items? Did they have some main thing they wanted to push? That's all worth knowing about, and citizens deserve to know. It's not necessarily illegal, not even necessarily immoral. Business people are allowed to put money into candidates. Corporations can't in Minnesota, but individuals can. So I don't think we should be shy at all about shining great big spotlights of who is contributing money to whom, who they sit on the board with, who they sit next to, what business relationships those people have, what they may have to benefit from certain candidates getting into office.
It's interesting to me or noteworthy that you took this on a local level, because I think a lot of times there's just more information about what's happening nationally. Not as much. You had to do a lot of digging on a local level, but it seems like a good place to start where you could, you did what you needed to do. You had some positive results from where you were coming from and can make a difference in our local communities.
I hope so. It does feel like it's a microcosm of national events and national movements, right? I mean, you've got candidates running for office, you've got businesses promoting them behind the scenes, you've got money sort of slipping in multiple ways behind the scenes, and that happens nationally too. And honestly, Heidi, one of the problems in the U.S., in my opinion, is that Washington's really far away from most of our daily concerns. While we're figuring out, you know, how to walk our dogs and pick up poop along the sidewalk every morning, there's people doing their thing in D.C., and it's hard for us to have the energy or the time to notice what's going on. One of the critical things I haven't mentioned that is important for citizens to be able to be alert and aware is good local journalism, okay? Good local newspapers, local investigative journalism. I mean, that's part of the lifeblood of our open democratic process. So towns that lose their newspapers and towns that don't have people digging and probing and asking questions end up with poor government. So I'm thankful for KAXE and their efforts on so many levels within community. I'm thankful for good digging investigative journalism here and there. So support local journalism, support local journalists. They're vitally important because we can't do all this by ourselves.
Looking ahead to the future, one of our big goals is to find more money for journalism and to be able to do some more things like that on KAXE, KBXE. But I know for me, as I go around and talk with people, one of the things people talk to me the most about is Marshall Helmberger and the Border News Roundup and the Timberjay newspaper. And they are unique in that, you know, Marshall owns that paper. He's not beholden to a corporation. And, you know, that paper just won a bunch of awards again at the Minnesota Newspaper Association. And due to Marshall's efforts investigating Frontier Communications, they have been fined and there may be some criminal charges against them because he got all this information, got it to the state and the PUC and the Commerce Department and made sure that something was done about this. So I absolutely agree with you. I wish there, and a lot of people say to me, well, why don't you talk to newspapers from every town so we can know that about every town? But the thing is there's a lot of great journalists that are working for newspapers, but they are corporately owned and they're not allowed to talk to independent places like KAXE, KBXE. And so, yeah, we would love to see more of that in the future. And that's kind of our hope for the future of KAXE as well. So
that is exactly right. And Marshall Helmberger, by the way, is a freaking rock star. That guy is amazing, and the people on the northern end of the Iron Range are just lucky to have him out there digging and working and exposing and educating. Find all that just like incredibly important. Right here in our general area, media consolidation is another big problem too. In Bemidji, we have the Bemidji Pioneer, owned by the Fargo Forum, which is a giant media company that does some really neat things, but all citizens need to know who is running the show, who is in charge of the radio station here, what's their agenda, who owns the newspaper, what's their agenda. Because I can tell you here and now, if a large corporate entity owns your newspaper or owns your radio station, and they have a business agreement, or if they have business connections with another large corporate interest in their area, then their reporting is not always going to be what we want it to be. So thank goodness for KAXE. Thank goodness for Marshall Hellenberger.
And citizen journalists like yourself, people that are out there and asking questions and filing complaints. And can folks follow you on Twitter or Facebook if they want to see kind of what you're up to out there, Robert?
Yeah, I'm on Facebook. My Twitter handle is at Debajmud, which is Ojibwe. I'll spell it out. Let's make it the word of the day, Heidi.
Okay.
D-E-B-A-A-J-I-M-O-D. I appreciate enormously Minnesota and the people here, because one of the things I think about a lot when I look at sort of national politics is that it gets sort of framed in a left versus right spectrum. And I don't think that reflects reality, and I don't think that reflects us. This is not a left versus right. It's a good government thing, and we should all want really good government, good, clean government. The people of the KAXE Northern Community Radio listening community are kind of, a lot of them are like me, tree-hugging deer hunters, so we can be all over the spectrum. And I think the more that we all pay attention and step up when we need to, the better our government's going to be and the better our communities are going to be.
It's Robert Saxon. We've been talking to him about the Bemidji First campaign finance complaint that he made that was recently written up in the Star Tribune. He's from Bemidji. Robert, thank you so much. We hope to hear more about what you're up to.
Thanks for calling, Heidi.